Hi there, this is David Wilcock, and if you're not familiar with me or with my work, you can find out more on my website, which is divinecosmos.com. Ever since 1996, I have had a gift in which I am able to induce a deep state of trance and find myself speaking on behalf of my higher self, an aspect of my personality billions of years more evolved than my physical self. There have been many validations to show that this aspect of my personality is, in fact, outside of linear time, and though that doesn't necessarily prove the source is positive, it does prove that we're dealing with some sort of transcendent consciousness. There's many articles you can read about on my site that deal with the validation of this ability. There's also a book that's out in the public domain called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is written about me. That's one of the things that I don't often like to talk about that is a part of this case. There is a strong, even stunning facial similarity between myself and the 20th century psychic known as Edgar Cayce, as well as a very strong astrological similarity where all of the planets in the inner part of the chart, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, are in almost the exact same position in the two charts. And it's a 127-year cycle after Cayce's death, wherein there's only one moment that you can line up as perfectly with his planets as can be, and that is exactly when I was born. Also, there's a series of people from Cayce's inner circle who apparently have reincarnated as people who are in my inner circle, and you can see more of that on my free online video, The 2012 Enigma. So I also am not just doing this type of channeling work, I'm involved in scientific research, and the research essentially revolves around the idea that our entire solar system is going through an energetic change, which can be shown on a superficial level as climate change affecting each planet, like the Earth. The Earth is not isolated in what it's experiencing. This is something that's a solar system-wide effect. And as I often describe in my lectures and in other audio blogs and on radio shows, it seems that the energy that's transforming our solar system and the Earth has a consciousness component as well as a DNA shifting component. And in terms of consciousness, it appears that our minds have a non-physical aspect, which is essentially where the thought is really happening. It no longer appears that all thought is occurring in the neurons. It seems to be that consciousness is some sort of dovetailing between neurological function and energetic function. And there are an increasing number of studies that prove that part of what you're thinking with right now as you hear my words is, in fact, an energetic function completely independent of your physical body. And in the same sense, DNA has been proven now that it can restructure itself. One of the studies I just found recently describes a Italian wall lizard known as Podarcus sicula that 36 years after the fact of it being transplanted from a desert island to a lush tropical island, they found that all of its descendants had completely mutated into a form that had new digestive organs to digest plants, had a much larger head, a much larger amount of bite pressure. The whole creature had transformed itself in adaptation to its environment. So maybe that's a good reason for all of us to consider that the changes that are happening to us now on this planet are triggering adaptive responses in our own DNA that allow us to reconfigure who we are and where we're coming from in ways that may be more fantastic than we would ever dare to believe. I have a very positive view of what's happening with the planet right now. And a lot of you have been asking me, why haven't I written lately? Where's David? What's going on? I did just have a conference in Hawaii, which I was very pleased with. We had a great turnout. It was part of the Exopolitics Institute with Dr. Michael Sala. And I do enjoy being able to go to these exotic locations and give a message. The one that I'm the most excited about is a cruise that's coming up in November on the Mexican Riviera. There's some very beautiful ports of call we're going to be going to, and you'll have a chance to spend more time with the people at the conference and with me. So we do still have room for you to sign up for that if you're interested. In the immediate term, I have a conference coming up called the Harmony Festival in Santa Rosa, and I am going to be working very diligently at that one. I have 4 different events, as well as a post-conference, and I'm going to be on the main stage at certain points. So that's exciting. I'm trying to keep about 2 conferences a month and not more than that. I am getting a lot of invitations to do conferences, and I don't have the ability to take all of them. I do apologize. And I also need to create a space of time. One of the things that's happening is I'm going to be doing a vocal music album with my colleague Larry Sire, who's a 9-time Grammy Award-winning musician. And we're just trying to figure out when I can actually get over to Texas, so we're going to do this. But given that he's done 500 other recording artists, I'm very excited about what we're going to be able to do when we come up with a vocal music album, where I'm actually the lead singer and one of the key composers of the music. Previously, we did a CD series, which became an MP3 series. We do not offer it on CD anymore, but you can burn it to CD. And it's called The Science of Peace. And this really is a summarization of the best material that I've come up with. It does go into exactly what I was talking about with DNA changes and interplanetary climate change and the fact that our Earth is moving through a transition into higher consciousness. It also goes into the idea that the mind is in fact an energetic function coupled with a neurological function. It's a great, wonderful playground of different esoteric concepts grounded in science. And what I also can say is that we composed our own musical soundtrack to go with this lecture, this series of 3 lectures. And that in and of itself is unprecedented, especially because we dovetailed through so many different styles of music. It's far from just any one thing. It has acid jazz and guitar lullabies and deep trance, ambient, everything you can imagine, really. And it's executed, I feel, with a great deal of quality, and many other people feel that way as well. If you find yourself enamored with our work, it is a wonderful thing if you can help support us by ordering one of our products or going to one of these conferences. It's the only way we can stay in business. And yes, I do humbly admit that in the process of not updating my website, our sales dropped off precipitously. So that, of course, is part of the catalyst that makes me do what I'm doing right now. And I'm happy to do it. I feel like although I've had a great deal of fun and I've been working very hard on other projects like trying to finish my film script for the movie Convergence that talks about this consciousness science, I never want to leave this website unattended because this is my main way of getting in contact with you. I try not to get overwhelmed when I think about how many of you are now paying attention and obviously will be listening to this. It's huge. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I have a MySpace page now, and it's myspace.com/divinecosmos. And I'm getting a tremendous number of friend requests on there. I would really, again, ask, go to the MySpace page if you want to. Say hello to me if you want to, but don't write longer letters on there because I don't have the ability to answer them all. I really prefer to get email on my own private email address that you can find on divinecosmos.com. That being said, I do sometimes try to answer email, but again, I'm getting about 120 a day, and lately I've especially been taking it easy and just sort of pulling back so I can have some time to rest and rejuvenate and feel better about everything. I've actually been having new friendships and meeting people and actually being social instead of just sitting here in my house on the mountain all day alone. Also, my mother's visiting me right now. She's somewhere downstairs in the house. And I'm just going to be going into a reading. I think there's a lot of things going on right now that we're interested in, that we'd like to hear something about. While I was off on my little trip and having a great time being distracted by all the wonderful things that come along with being in Hawaii on vacation, I came to find out that apparently Hillary said something about an assassination on Bobby Kennedy, and it was in context of why the election might last as long as it has. Now, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is something that is intended to be seen as threatening or otherwise provocative in the sense of hanging the carrot to a potential assassin of, hey, you know, this could really help if you want to see me still win the presidency. And then, of course, the Fox News anchor comes out a couple days later or so and says, Osama, Obama, what's the difference? We could kill both of them and it would be better. Something to that effect. And I just watched last night where she kind of has to go deep and apologize for what she said. Obviously, there must have been an enormous backlash of angry email and phone calls in order for someone who's capable of saying such an unloving statement live on public television to actually retract and apologize. That's really unprecedented. So these things are going on. It's obvious that Obama will win the nomination, barring any extremely unpleasant dirty trick. And there's also been leaks that the Bush administration might still try to attack Iran. The trusted news source, TBRnews.org, has said that this is, in fact, totally coming out of propaganda from Israel, who would love to see Iran attacked. Has nothing to do with anything that the Bush administration will actually be able to accomplish while Bush is still in office. The military is in a very, very weakened state. Everything is falling apart. The troops are almost at the point of mutiny. It's a bad situation. There are no capacity to go and try to amp up the game by dropping a nuke on some other country. Also, the fact is that the command structure itself refuses to let this happen. It knows that gas would go to like $10 a gallon and all sorts of insanity would happen if this were to have occurred. So it's very, very unlikely that the severed head is going to be able to talk to the body and have any meaningful rapprochement between the two. So I would encourage you not to worry about that. As far as the economy goes, do I think that we've seen the bottom? Definitely not. If there is any truth to what Benjamin Fulford is saying, which I believe there is, then part of why the gas prices are going up, if not the main reason why they're going up, has little or nothing to do with whatever excuses are being given in the media about traders trading on the cost of oil or whatever. It seems to have much more to do with the deliberate increase of prices of American oil by the deliberate failure to sell it to us in the quantities we used to get it, and thereby driving up the price. And this is a collaborative effort on behalf of other countries to essentially foment social insurrection in our country, to get us more and more upset with our own government, to create the capacity for an awakening within our society so that people realize that what's going on is not right and they want change and they want something different. It's sort of like if you were in other countries and you're dealing with a dictator or a tyrant and you don't know what else to do except to sort of slowly bleed it off because militarily there's no way you can win. That seems to be what's going on here. And also, I don't think the other countries want to cause us physical harm. They don't want to, like, blow up a city or anything like that. Of course not. This is as bloodless as possible to try to create a power shift. And you're never going to see it in the media, in either the Western media or anywhere else, because nobody wants to say what's being done, because as soon as you've identified it, then it becomes a war and it gives them the ability to try to attack militarily or economically or otherwise politically. So, yeah, that is a component of what's going on with the economy. That is the best explanation in terms of the big picture for why these things are happening. Fulford said that this was going to happen, and then it did happen. Having him sit down with David Rockefeller does seem to prove that he was capable of making those contacts. Again, I would encourage people not to get upset or vindictive or baiting towards Obama. I really do continue to get positive feedback about him in my dreams. He is human. He's far from a messiah. He's just a politician who seems to be coming from the heart and is more indicative of this fourth density quality that the earth is moving into, where I genuinely do feel that his intentions are positive. And as I may have said before, okay, so he's bringing in globalists like Zbigniew Brzezinski to want to run his cabinet. That doesn't mean that he's going to listen to everything that these guys say, and it certainly doesn't mean he's going to be run by them. So I would encourage you to just open your heart and open your mind to the fact that, yes, you've seen many, many things that have made you very cynical and distrustful of our government. It does not mean that you can't also visualize a world that is changing and moving in a direction where even the gross level of politics is starting to show the changes into fourth density. Just what I said here, the blatancy of Hillary coming forward, showing that she will pull out every single stop that it could possibly take to try to win. Race baiting and just everything. It's become the most blatant actual demonstration of what you could call Illuminati influence in politics that we've ever seen. It's so off the chart to invoke the specter of assassination under the weakest clause of plausible deniability that you're only talking about it in terms of what might happen, you know, for why an election would last until June. It's just ridiculous. And everybody knows it. It's really helping to trigger a mass awakening. Now, I have also had several visionary dreams indicating that there could be a relatively massive social uprising in this country, America, and that it could involve a lot of young people who actually do end up getting away from their MySpace page and their computer and going out into the street, perhaps with violence, actually. Now, I'm not advocating this at all. Let's just make that point very clear. What I'm saying is that I've seen it as a potential future. I also have seen that I have a potential to be in a key role to not have this happen anywhere near as much as it might otherwise. I'm assuming that means a lot more public exposure at that point. It's possible that that could come through the film. We do plan on having known actors and a high degree of production value on our film Convergence. This is a film that started out as a description of some of the science research I'd done into consciousness, which is very fascinating. Again, talking about the idea that all of our minds are unified in an energy field, and therefore there is no real separation between us, except for that which our personality self creates, and our illusion that we are separate creates. I had somebody write me recently and say, man, you talk about fourth density and that you're consciousness is no longer going to be isolated, that everybody can telepathically communicate with each other and know what each other is thinking. That sounds terrible. I would never want to lose my privacy. Well, as I was talking with my colleague, Dr. Scott Manilker, the other day, privacy is an illusion. There is really only consciousness that's one source that we all superficially seem to have as a separated consciousness identity, but in truth is really part of an everlasting whole. So there are higher beings right now who are very much aware of everything that you think, everything that you say, and Mandelker used the expression, which I like, of the glass ceiling. Think about walking around in your room or your house, and everything you think you do is so private, but to the higher forces, it's like there's a glass ceiling and everything can be seen. So that's also something that I really would like to emphasize about politics and the situation in our world. This is not a situation that's intended for us to all die. This is not a situation in which gigantic disasters are going to be allowed to happen. This is a situation in which, as much as is possible, there is an effort to try to shepherd the Earth through this change into a new consciousness. There are certain times where the Earth has to release volcanic activity. We were having a volcano ash explosion going on while we were in the large island of Hawaii. It was making it difficult to see things. We didn't have much sun while we were there. Actually, we did do a group prayer, though. And in that group prayer, I specifically led the audience of about, 150 people to try to take the pressure off the Earth and try to relieve some of that buildup. And in fact, the volcano had its quietest day since that problem had started the very next day. It was wonderful. It was a great proof of concept of how consciousness can interface with the Earth, because there is ample evidence that the Earth is a sentient being and that Earth changes are in fact related to consciousness. They will end up going where consciousness frequencies are lower. So that's an important point. You're seeing that Earth changes are happening over areas where there is a great deal of poverty and a great deal of stuck energy, let's say. Now, this is not in any way racist or classist or any other ism. It's just a fact that when you have these pockets of the Earth where there's a lot of dysfunction and chaos, they will become magnetically attractive to the next major Earth change. Now, most of the countries that are in the Western world that are on the internet and so forth are not experiencing anywhere near as much of this kind of energy. Their political leadership may be going through a lot of upheaval, but in terms of the people, you're seeing a great deal of positive change that I think is remarkably noticeable at this time. I mean, think about the Vatican coming out and endorsing the idea that UFOs could be real and that the ETs could be not unacceptable because they're ultimately part of God's creation. Now, that definitely seems to be part of the disclosure timeline, if you will, that's coming forward. Another thing that blew me away is I went and saw the movie Indiana Jones, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, on recommendation from a friend because I'd heard that it was going to have extraterrestrial type content in it. At the risk of pulling a big spoiler here, it is the whole point of the film that basically extraterrestrials came to the Earth and civilized early human settlements and gave us everything that we have. And of course, there's an epic Spielbergian scene at the end of the movie that does involve a gigantic UFO. And it's clear that if a corporation is going to put in this much money into a film that is so blatantly an attempt to sort of water down the charge around UFOs and make more people aware of it, and then you look at how popular the film has become, it's, last I checked, it had already generated something like $317 million. It's obviously something that people want to see. In filmic terms, I would have to agree with the reviewers that say that there were a lot of structural problems with the movie. To me, it felt like a lot of tradecraft was being used that was typical of other movies in order to sort of make it fit into a Hollywood template. Notice I did not use the word formula. We hate that word. But I guess I think of it as like bookkeeping screenwriting, and in no way do I want to disrespect George Lucas or Spielberg for this. It's just that what we're trying to do with Convergence is something that's a little more inventive and sort of honoring the structural conventions of good storytelling without having to fall into these types of cliches that you can often find in action movies and so forth. A drama movie really deals more with interpersonal character change rather than the character having this imperative to survive being the top part of the movie. And I am really excited. The only reason why I'm doing this again is because I'm tearing myself away from finishing my script, and it's coming along wonderfully. We've had a few reads, and it's actually, people are really excited about what I've done so far, and I think that the movie is going to be much better for it. It's kind of amazing and staggering that it's taken us 3.5 years to get a screenplay this proficient, but ultimately, I was the only one that could write it, and so I had to go through this amazing curve of learning in terms of getting to the point where I could do a screenplay that was actually consistent with structure. But we've had more than one film professor work with us intimately from the top film universities, and I've been trained by them. I've been through, I don't know, 12 different books on screenwriting, and this is really intensely studying them, taking notes, documenting my studies, reviewing, rereading, and then synthesizing all that data together into sort of an overview of how to do things. Now, it does make it very difficult to see a movie the same way. In fact, you really can't, because you know certain things and you know where things are going and when things are going to be introduced, and that changes it. But it's nice to also know that that people respond to these things and that you can actually make a successful movie out of them. So the question is how to map in all of our science data into a plot, and that's what we're working on. Anyway, I don't really know what will be said if I go into a reading, but that's what I intended to do when I started this. I've been through a lot of positive, energetically uplifting experiences of late, and I feel that my inspiration is really good. I'm very positive right now. And I think that we can try to get some words from my higher self. Now, just a few things on that. My higher self is apparently within this social memory complex known as Ra that was the author of the Law of One series. Do I say that this is Law of One 2.0? No. I'm saying that my higher self identifies itself as being one aspect within this group. And in fact, the Law of One series tells us that fully, well, they don't give a percentage, but it appears that over half of all the ET souls on the planet, of which there's a minimum of 100 million, come from this group soul. Now, this is a soul that originated apparently on the planet Venus 1.2 billion years ago, went through third density human form, just like we're going through now, got into fourth density, then fifth, and made it into sixth. And so they've progressed a great deal and are at that point now where we would be considering them like a higher self, and or what some people might call an oversoul. The only step left that they will make is to graduate into seventh density, where they move into foreverness and timelessness. And they create an everlasting sort of computer record of everything they know. Almost you could think of it like creating a database that other sixth density beings can consider and use for their own edification. And then they sort of drift on back to the oneness by spiritual gravity. They take on more and more spiritual mass, if you will, it's called, and it becomes like a gravitational attraction back into oneness. So anyway, this group is something that appears to be now incarnated in terms of multiple humans who have forgotten that they came from this group and have taken on a series of incarnations to try to help the planet. And if you find yourself fascinated with my work, you probably are one of these people, because you're the type of person who's going to be drawn to this. We could think of ourselves as a ground crew, and if we hadn't have come here to do this, the Earth would be in much worse shape than it appears to be now. That's a very important point. There's enough of us so that it's about 1 in 60 people or more, and that means that everyone in the world, everywhere they are, knows one of these people and has interacted with one of these people, and they also have the capacity to create many changes in our social, political, entertainment structures. So this reading is really just another aspect of me. It's an aspect of me that would identify itself as having been Ra with the Egyptians or otherwise, other periods of history as well. Ultimately, the only identity we have is the one infinite creator, and these various names we give ourselves are just either closer to or farther away from who we really are, but never underlining or undermining the truth, which is that we are this one light and one cosmos. So I will probably digitally edit out some of the silence that will be required for me to go into this trance state to do the reading. So what you're going to hear is probably just a short pause followed by my speaking in my same voice, but as if I were on behalf of my higher self. I don't know what the content is going to be. It may be similar to some of the things I've already said. It may be totally different, but this is what makes it fun. You don't know what you're going to get. All I know is that a lot of you have wanted to hear from me, and I do appreciate all your letters. I do appreciate all your support. So this is my gift to you for continuing to be so wonderfully communal with me and wanting to share my wisdom and whatever insights I've gained. And I thank you for that. So with that being said, I would ask you also to take some deep breaths and just clear a space of love in your heart, because if you can listen to this with love and open-mindedness rather than judgment, then we all have the opportunity to benefit, and the energy that you create in what you would call the present can reflect back in time and affect this reading in a positive way. So let's go for it. I am Ra. It is an honor and a privilege to greet you this day in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We thank the one known as David for giving us this opportunity to allow us to speak to you in this form. For in the frenetic pace of life, many of you find yourselves caught in a whirlwind of sorts. Awakening and escaping at the same time. Being fully present within your higher consciousness at various points, while losing the focus and sliding back into feelings of fear, and scarcity, and negativity. Your planet is changing, and we are helping it move to a positive space. It requires your participation to move most expediently. We are happy to assist you in any way possible. And Ra is one of the groups you can call upon for support if you so choose. In fact, we are limited in the extent of what we can do on your planet by the number of people who call upon us for support. Therefore, by the publicity that is gained from David's website and others like it, we do have an increased capacity to serve. You are seeing an unfolding upon your planet, a gentle flowering, petal by petal, of the loving vibration that is so typical of where your Earth is now moving to. Indeed, the changes are ultimately positive, and when you see those that appear more disconcerting, fear not. For the restructuring is a necessary aspect of moving into this new world. We are so proud of you, for we see that you, the one listening to these words, are doing your work and moving through layer after layer after layer of growth and change and renewal. In fact, we can say this emphatically, that all of your people are having positive changes that we had not anticipated, but only had hoped for. It is truly a marvel to behold. We are very diligently working behind the scenes to help sculpt events that unfold on your physical plane in such a way as to promote the greatest level of consciousness evolution. We do work to inspire the creators of great works of art, including cinema, which they may see simply as intuitions or dreams. We do work behind the scenes to influence the behavior of those that can steer the tide of public events in a way that is more positive. And it would be staggering to your mental faculties to understand the extent to which this reality that you see is so closed off and separated is in fact being orchestrated and pushed and pulled in accordance with your own free will. Negative events can and do happen on your planet, but they only happen in proportion to their level of invitation. And the invitation is created by the conscious knowing desire to infringe upon the free will of others that's happening within the heart and mind of each person to whatever degree is being seen. Therefore, as the overall level of positivity increases in your planet and in your people, so too does the holographic shift occur, wherein we are given greater ability to shift everything that you see in a positive direction. Will we land on the White House lawn anytime soon? Very unlikely. What we are dealing with instead is a change that requires us to remain somewhat shrouded in secrecy. You can easily deny that the words that are being spoken right now are anything other than David's imagination. And that is okay. This is part of our process. We do not come forward and announce ourselves in physical manifestation and say, this is what you must believe. using the word must in and of itself is an infringement on free will, as there is always the capacity to see things more than one way, and we would never want to suggest otherwise. What we can say is that we work behind the scenes through various methods to help structure your reality so that it does represent a perfect reflection of what you have created. For most people, this becomes something that's a novelty that they may tap into from time to time and think about concepts such as karma, never realizing the enormous extent to which orchestration is occurring, even within your own life. It is absolutely the case that what happens to you in your own life is a function of what you are creating. The people you attract, the way that they treat you, the events that unfold, none of this is accidental, especially as you are awakening more and more on your path. The more progress you make and the more diligently you focus on what is right for you, the more you are indeed having these spontaneous transformations occur. We are able to monitor the traffic of David's email by reading it with him, and are seeing more and more of your letters coming in describing your visionary experiences of very paranormal type of events happening. If you are one of those people, bear in mind that everything is okay. You're being guided and protected and transformed. We are so pleased to see you awakening to your higher potential. And of course, the key, as always, first and foremost, is the meditation. To be able to quiet your mind is to still more and more of the neurological effects that come from your body. As the body moves into stillness, those aspects of your consciousness that the body creates dwindle away, such that your actual awareness, your actual waking mind, is cosmic awareness. And when you can do that, whatever it is that comes into your mind will be coming from your own higher self, from your own cosmic consciousness. This is a wonderful fact that is supported by David's scientific research. You can embrace the fact that by simply learning to not stress out about things that used to upset you, you will help to ensure that they no longer need to happen. The events that stress you out will only continue occurring for as long as you find them useful. And what makes them useful is when they get a rise out of you, when you feel somehow upset by the things that have unfolded. So you are seeing these changes occur so that your heart will open more and more. All of the hideous aspects that have so upset people for many years are being revealed, and you have the choice as to whether you will see them with love or condemnation or fear. To see them with love is to forgive, and to forgive others is to forgive yourself. Truly, the forgiveness is an ultimate discipline of the cosmos. It reflects the fact, ultimately, of knowing that you are the one infinite creator, that all aspects that you see out in the world, all behaviors of others, is a behavior of yourself, and are behaviors of this one self. Once again, you have the choice as to how you will react to a given situation. You may have inbuilt triggers that naturally arise for you as you go through certain experiences. When someone says something to you or looks at you a certain way, or you have a certain set of experiences that you find unpleasant, it's all too common to have that immediately get categorized into some label that you've already put on such an experience, and bring up a part of you that seems to be sarcastic and cynical and rather fatalistic about the nature of what happens in your life. In fact, we are aware that many of you were upset by the recent appearance of David on the Margaret Wendt radio show, wherein the one known as Margaret did go through a rather extensive amount of negative emotion over the status of the world, and displayed uncertainty as to whether this was in fact going in a positive direction. It is important to bear in mind that many souls are going through profound upheavals and transformations at this time, and it is a great deal of effort required to experience that opening of the heart and experience that renewal that comes with truly seeing that all is well and being comfortable in that space. Since the one known as Margaret had just found out about a very important person's death in her life, it was obviously a key time to see the soul going through its greatest trauma. And we send her all of our love and all of our light for that reason. We also can say that there will be other shows in the future where we will have more experiences with more guests and more hosts. We are pleased to be able to give you these messages of hope and of healing. We remind you that you are loved more than you could ever possibly imagine. This is something that can be so easily proven by looking within, seeing the truth of your own being, of your own light. Yes, it is true, you are moving through a planetary awakening. You are moving into a change that is far more profound than you could ever imagine. It is very much akin to discovering that you have an inheritance coming of an estate of far greater value than you could have ever thought possible. Yes, you go through your human lifetimes, and if you believe in reincarnation, is it just the point that you will keep coming back over and over again, repeating the same lessons? Or is it possible that at a certain point your entire being transmutes to a higher level of function, and then you never necessarily have to come back again unless you choose to? That appears to be what is happening, isn't it? If you look at the clues within your own life, you can see all the signs. And we are here to say that the Earth itself moves through this transformation as well, as it is also a sentient being that is awakening on a very fixed schedule. Since your consciousness and the consciousness of the Earth are fundamentally intertwined within the consciousness field, the Earth's evolution naturally propels each of you through this change at your own speed. But that speed, to a large degree, is only dovetailed by your free will, when in fact, to the greater degree, it is being driven by this cosmic cycle that is transforming the solar system and even the composition of your own DNA. Therefore, you are experiencing uplifting gratitude if you choose to shift your perspective and go in that direction. If you choose to cling to those aspects of yourself that are being brought up for your own personal growth and not do anything about them, then you will find yourself shaken more and more. You will find the people in your life being more and more discourteous. You will find more and more unexpected mishaps and accidents. And you will see yourself moving more and more into a state of fear and judgment. If this is happening to you, just look at what's right in front of your face. Whatever is the biggest issue that is right there in front of you, focus on that and make that the thing that you are most keen on changing. You will find that you don't have to look very far at all to see what the big growth point is in your life at a given time. Whatever is reflecting back to you, that is your issue. So if you find that there are others in your life who are constantly confronting you about something, look at the confrontation. This does not necessarily mean that what they are confronting you about is what you need to change, necessarily. It may be that because you are changing, the others in your life are resisting the changes and do not wish to go with you to that new place. If this happens to you, step back and reflect on whether these people are the right ones to have in your circle of friends or not. Remember that you are not obligated to any soul. Each soul is on its own journey, on its own dance, and if you dance with one another, that is perfect. And if you do not dance with one another, that is also perfect. The choice remains yours. You are given free will, and you can choose whether to honor this gift or not. If others come into your life and consistently take away your free will, it is well within your right to change your circumstances, regardless of whether you are bound in a legal contract, marriage, or otherwise. These definitions constrict free will, and this is why in the Law of One series we referred to marriage as an adversarial relationship. We do also advocate that if you are moving through questionings of your own orientation in sexuality, that you not be afraid of those eventualities. In the higher realms, we do find that gender quickly becomes irrelevant, and that a typical sharing of energy between souls is not at all dissimilar from what lovemaking is like upon your plane. We would never wish to condemn anyone on the basis of their sexual orientation, nor would we wish to condemn anyone who seeks to have more than one partner in a romantic sense. This behavior may seem to be the very stuff of selfishness. However, it is only manipulative and negative insofar as when a great deal of deception comes into play. We do find that there are ways in which souls can openly communicate one with another, such that there is no deception. Many of your peoples would in fact have a great deal of healing occur if they could be open and clear about what their intentions are going into a new partnership, rather than to come into it with the idea that they are going to pledge an exclusive relationship right at the beginning, without really knowing who that person is or what will be happening. Again, this seems to be dicey territory to discuss in a spiritual context, but you can look at the evidence in your society of what happens when soul monogamous partnerships are started too quickly and with too little of a foundation of trust from one person to another. As the problems arise and as the personality discrepancies occur, there may well be a desire to have another partner, and if it happens spontaneously that another partner is met, there may be the so-called infidelity or cheating that occurs. Again, we advise you that if you wish to have more than one romantic partner, to simply be very open about what happens in your mind and what your intentions are. You will find that this is a great deal of work and it does not come easily. But if you can be open and honest in your communication, then it is possible to move through your own adolescent issues. Obviously, from a spiritual perspective, moving into an exclusive relationship is a higher level of love, as two souls can come and form unity with one another in a way that cannot be done in a so-called polyamorous arrangement. However, once again, moving through these stages within yourself is beneficial insofar as it may represent a wish fulfillment, and it also opens your communication and removes so much of the shame around sexuality. There are issues that cannot be fully cleared until you have experienced them. This is why in Book 1 of the Law of One series it says that your primary purpose here is to experience all things you desire. That is something that then comes in with your analysis and reflection upon your experiences so that you can distill the love and wisdom contained within your experiences. By moving through these various aspects of yourself and not violating the free will of others in the process, you gain greater understanding, greater love, greater wisdom. You may find that having these multiple partners is not something you really need once you've experienced it. It may prove to be more complicated than you would like. And we are certainly not advising you to go out and do this. We are simply speaking to 1% of our audience, one percentage, one aspect that may experience these things. In fact, this issue was raised in David's first appearance with Margaret Wendt, and we have seen the thought forms of many of you that have come out of what was said, and this is our response to that particular issue. Moving through the changes involves opening the heart, opening the mind, opening the spirit. And by seeing yourself as the divine and beautiful wonderment that you are, you can learn to respect yourself more and more. And with that increasing self-respect comes the love for others. When you see others with condemnation and judgment, it often reflects some aspect of yourself that you are not fully in alignment with in a loving capacity. Then when you see someone else who reminds you of who you are inside, it's easy to project your own dissatisfaction with self onto them, rather than looking within and finding the issue at the core. You can move to the core now and do this with us. Take a few deep, relaxing breaths. Your breath is your anchor for your higher consciousness. Relax into the knowingness that all is well. Into the awareness that you are, in fact, a being of divine light. Glide with the changes. See the external world shifting into love. See yourself communicating openly and without fear. Recognize how beautiful you are, how much you are loved, how much support exists for you. Relax with the changes as the earth moves into its higher frequency. Let yourself feel at peace. You are whole and perfect and complete in this moment. You are forming a bridge to your true consciousness. It is who you are now and who you always have been, and nothing and no one can take that from you. For you are the light, you are the love, you are the one infinite creator now and forever. And you may continue meditating as we close out this session. And thank you for listening and tuning in your vibration with our own. Peace be with you in the light of everlasting love. We now bring this reading to a close. Adonai and Amen. Okay, this is David. I'm back. Now, a lot of times I don't remember what was said, but in this case I do remember a discussion at the end about so-called polyamorous relationships or something. It's been an issue that I've been talking about with people and discussing, essentially because it's so clear that the social institutions are breaking down and people kill each other over this so-called infidelity or cheating. So I have been in contact with people who are involved in relationship theory and friends of mine, just trying to figure out, is it really absolutely necessary for people to so immediately get attached and find themselves in such a huge emotional firestorm? And I do think that in some cases we would heal faster if we could give ourselves the adolescence that we might never have had. It's okay to date people. It's okay to enjoy your life and spend a period of time moving through a natural unfolding where you get to know various people and you may even be romantically involved with them. And you just openly communicate about the fact that you're not ready yet for an exclusive relationship. Because honestly, if you've been through a few relationships, then you know that you don't really get to know someone right away. And unfortunately, until you've been physically involved with them on an intimate level, you don't know how they're going to turn out afterwards. So by no means do I want to be seen as the Pied Piper of polyamory. Nothing like that. I do think that if you move through some of these experiences, you may find that it has created a great healing, and you don't need to be so focused on it anymore. You can grow up and mature and settle into an exclusive relationship without feeling threatened by it, or without feeling that you're losing something. So many of us live our lives in regret over things that we wish we could have done. And it is true that that show with Margaret kind of challenged me, because I had very fixed, strict beliefs, and I think it comes from a Judeo-Christian background, wherein we are taught that marriage is something that must be the backdrop of having physical intimacy with someone. And many of you may still believe that, and I'm not in any way trying to challenge you by saying that this is not the way it is. My point simply is that for a lot of people it's not working, and the evidence is in the huge divorce rate and the sheer level of dysfunction within relationships in general. There's so many people that cannot get sexually aroused that they require pills in order to get an erection. That's Viagra, of course, and other chemicals like it. So there's something really intrinsically wrong with our society on that level. And actually, the woman who runs the Harmony Festival, Deborah, gave me a download on her perspective, which is much more open and expansive in some ways. Again, you may not like this. It may be that someone really can't deal with anything other than having one partner who's totally committed to them if they become intimate. But another point is that it's only by going through something like this and talking with people and having the experiences that you really understand what you're getting yourself into. But I think that if it were not so shameful, it may be something that a lot more people experience. I personally would not want to stay outside of an exclusive relationship for very long, and I'll tell you why. I think that having an exclusive relationship is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to connect with someone on a soul level and to know that they're there for you and to make that heart connection. I think that ultimately it does involve a sharing of energies in life and a building of bonds of ultimately what could become family and what can become just a glorious experience. So you also, of course, do run the risk when you're being physically intimate with someone that you may have a pregnancy happen. So it's important to protect yourself and not just throw caution to the wind when you're in a fit of passion. Anyway, this is just something that has arisen. I think that the universe has given me an insight into this because my perspective on it was very fixed, and I think that a lot of people could benefit from realizing that it's possible to talk about it this way and just be open about it. As we move into fourth density, we really need to question all the basic assumptions, and we can't let something like a religious belief hold us back from at least exploring how we feel about everything. If you automatically adopt some code of behavior because a religion says that it should be, or that a social convention says that it should be, then you may never have really examined what you feel about it inside. I think a lot of people have done that about exclusive relationship. They're just so terrified of being bad that they never have even allowed themselves to consider how they really feel. And then when you end up having infidelity or an affair or whatever, it's forbidden fruit and the passion is much greater and the sex seems to be much better. But then, of course, you end up crashing through another cycle of drama all over again. Again, it's way, way more difficult to be open in communication about this and actually tell everyone where you're at than it is to be deceptive and hide it. And in no way would I say you should be deceptive. Quite the contrary. Just be open and see what happens. Now, it may not get you very far at all, and you may get slapped in the face or who knows what, but the point is, again, this is just one small aspect, and I feel like making one public statement about it is useful. It's not something I'm going to harp on or dwell on much beyond this, but it could potentially help to heal a lot of people. Anyway, I wanted this to be about the length of a CD, and we're kind of moving into that time zone now. I continue to see that our society is changing in positive ways, and I just encourage you to tune into the love within your own mind and heart, and respect the fact that you can have a life that is filled with joy and happiness. You can have a life that has sexual pleasure. You can have a life that has various things that you may have had blockages about before. You can open your heart. You can expand your awareness. You can have a whole new vista of consciousness unfold before you. This is what's happening to so many people. And it's happening because we're moving into this higher energy. So I'm very pleased to have seen this perspective and put it all together and then to be able to share it with you like this. There may be questions coming up about what's going to happen at what time and how is the economy going to hold together and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the best thing I can advise really is to just stay clear within your own heart. Try to remain positive as much as possible. And take it one day at a time. Why would you want to spend so much of your energy focusing on a future that you don't know how it's going to unfold when you can enjoy your life now and be able to tune into the positive energy, which creates a frequency that actually helps the planet not go through these negative things? That's the whole problem I have with disaster prophecies. If you got people coming out and saying that a various earth changes are going to happen and you should go to the safety land and you should get away from the coast or whatever, that creates fear. Now, if you are guided within your own discernment that this is something that you want to do, then go for it. My readings would not say you need to do that. They're not telling you to be concerned about the safety land, and there's been many readings that have said that. After all, I live right in Los Angeles. It seems that these higher beings are going to hold back most of the biggest earth changes until after this frequency shift occurs. And I go into much more detail about 2012 in other documents that you can find on the website and in my public events. If you go to one of my public events, you're going to get a massive amount of information in a wonderful PowerPoint presentation, much like the 2012 Enigma video. And in fact, I have new video footage that I may edit together and create a sequel to 2012 Enigma to help further bring forward this material for you. So again, if you are interested in hearing more about all this stuff, I highly recommend that you download the Science of Peace series. It's great content. It goes through the science and the spirit. There's a meditation for your own healing. And it's available now on my website for immediate download. You can check it out at divinecosmos.com. Again, I thank you so much for being present with us this day for this reading and this little update as to where we are now. So thank you again, and we'll be in touch soon.